The news at 9 o'clock. First of May, I'm Marion Kenny. Good evening. Counting is underway in the 2016 local authority elections. The polls closed at 8 this evening in the six areas hosting contests. Castletown, Douglas, where two wards are contested. Garth, where Lacks is hosting an election. Patrick, Peel and Port St Mary. Turnout in Castletown has been confirmed as 40.8%, while in Laxey the figure is 44%, both comparing well with the average for local authority polls of around 30%. In Laxey, that is up 11% on the last time. Well, there was frustration for early voters in Peel this morning as the town's polling station wasn't ready when the polls opened. Voters turned up at 8 a.m. at Corrin Hall on Derby Road to cast their votes, only to face delays. One person who was keen to cast his ballot before commuting to work says he had to wait for the station to open, making him late for his job. He told Manx Radio what happened.
I got to the polling station shortly before 8 o'clock, thinking I could beat the queues. And there was already a couple of ladies there waiting and already getting a bit frustrated. There didn't seem to be everybody there. There was one lady there who seemed to be an official of some sort. After I'd been there about 10 minutes, someone came in delivering all sealed boxes of papers. And then a few minutes later, a man in a suit came running in and started asking people if they had the ties and sort of fussing about and things. It was about 20 past eight.
That was Peel. Well, a member for the House of Keys with political responsibility for local authorities says it's extremely important for people to get involved. Chris Thomas says earlier this year the Department of Infrastructure sent out leaflets across the island to explain what commissioners do and how boards work. He says voters seem to treat local elections less seriously than national ones. But Mr Thomas says our local politicians do a crucial job.
The turnover in local authorities is £60 million. Pounds, which is more than half the government departments, so it matters. Houses cost a lot to provide and a lot of money is paid in rent, so it really matters how we organise for maintaining those houses and actually make sure the right people are living in those houses. That matters. Waste management, streetlights, they are all expensive to provide. I mean, we've got to work well together between national and local government to get the optimum provision.
In other news, the chief executive of the Children's Centre says the decision to close nursery provision for children under two was taken purely for financial reasons. It was announced today the loss-making service will cease on the 29th of July. Fiona Dawson says while the decision's been taken very reluctantly, they've been concerned at the situation for several months. The nursery has been among the centre's commercial activities, which help fund its charitable projects. Ms Dawson insists its closure doesn't represent a crisis for the charity, following the loss of several government contracts over the last 12 months.
Absolutely not. And this decision has absolutely nothing to do with government contracts. It's, as I said, a one-off financial decision around a particular area of our commercial activity. We're looking to grow and develop. We have a lot of services right across the board and we're putting a lot of emphasis on trying to go out there and work with partners, other charities, government organisations and the people that we're here to serve to make sure that we're responding to the social need that's in the environment.
Further afield, and Jeremy Corbyn denies his party is in crisis after suspending Ken Livingstone for inflaming the anti-Semitism row. The Labour leader's been accused of being slow to react after the former London mayor claimed Hitler supported the establishment of a Jewish state. Helicopters and lifeboats are searching for two missing crew members after a fishing boat sank off Pembrokeshire. Conditions at St David's Head are described as rough. And BHS staff have been paid this week and administrators say they'll continue to receive wages as a priority payment. They've also revealed they've received a number of expressions of interest as they try to stabilise the collapsed department store chain. That's the news. I'll have the headlines next at 9:30.
Ballachashug Farms Manx Meat. 100% taste. 100% provenance. 100% Manx.
Classifieds, brought to you by Caledonian Toyota. Call 613 603.
There won't be any pipes or cables buried here. You never know what might be underground. So before you dig, call 687 766 or email dig@manx.net for all utilities. Always dial or email before you dig.
For fitness equipment, rentals, sales and servicing needs, contact Fit for Hire. Whether it's bikini body woes, a new gym or faulty equipment, we offer a fast, friendly fitness equipment experience. Call Fit for Hire 432 444 or visit fitforhire.com.
Age between 50 and 75, the Shepherd's Friendly Over 50s plan through Blackford's provides a guaranteed fixed cash sum on death and guaranteed acceptance with cover from £10 per month. Find out more at blackfords.net. or call 627-674.
From the compact and daring Aygo to the tangible RAV, find your perfect Toyota at Caledonian Toyota, 613-603.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's election night special at the second hour of, well, who knows how many hours, certainly three, maybe four. We wait and see. We're with you throughout the evening, the results of the commissioners and council elections, and we do expect the first of those results to be with us within the next hour. We have two more guests in the studio since before you left us for the news. Welcome to Nigel Malpass, who's standing down after 8 years at Ramsey, and I think five at the helm as chairman. And Kat Turner as well, a Lib Dem councillor who switched wards in Douglas and actually didn't face an election tonight. We'll speak to you both in a moment. Just want to wrap up something that we were talking about in the first half of the show, Beth.
Yes, it's another question for Chris Thomas, the MHK with political responsibility for local authorities in the DOI. And this is a question, Chris, from James. He wants to know, why is there a need for another quango of regional housing authorities when local ones know the best needs of their people and they work together anyway?
Hi, Beth. You're talking to Guy Fawkes, self-styled Guy Fawkes, but you are talking to Guy Fawkes. I actually moved a motion in Tynwald along those lines, which was to actually provide a list of committees and quangos and get rid of as many as we could. So I'm definitely, I can promise everybody, we won't be setting up quangos. What we are doing is we're building on the local authorities that are housing authorities and trying to bring them together with government resources, national government resources, and working with the local authorities who neighbour those housing authorities to put together something that's better for everybody. Onchan and Port St Mary are the only two people who are not yet participating, and we do hope soon that they will see the value of actually combining waiting lists with a greater number of people to provide more choice for tenants, future tenants, and perhaps even identify some savings to be made along the way.
You're a popular man here, Mr. Thomas. Roger's been in touch again saying, please thank you for your answer. It would appear from it that any savings made by commissioners isn't going to make a big difference overall. Can you confirm that when Peel gets its sewage treatment works at around £20 million, and you're smiling now, I can see that, that it will be put on the sewage rates, and could you advise how much it would increase the rate by?
Nothing's clear about what will happen to the sewerage rate. A lot of the sewerage infrastructure is still paid by income tax. The chair of the Manx Utilities Authority is on record as saying it's not necessarily a unanimously held view that the continual process of transferring sewerage capital infrastructure financing from income tax to rates is continuing and is the right thing to do. So I certainly can't make an assurance that it'll be on by rates. I think it's very unlikely.
Captain Malpass, sewage, pavement cracks, dog excrement, regional housing. You're going to miss this, aren't you?
Yes. But can I say, I think it's a very sad night for politics in the Isle of Man tonight. However much the population turn out to vote, if 100% in all the wards being voted for tonight turned out, that means there's only 24.6% of the population that could have voted has voted. What kind of mandate is that for the rest of the authorities around the island?
How is that down to one factor or a series of factors?
My opinion, I'm here tonight speaking as a private individual. I'm a commissioner till the end of the 30th.
Saturday night.
But I'm speaking privately. But in 8 years, I've listened to a lot of people. And recently, I can only liken it to my life at sea. When I took over command of my first ship, the captain said, walk around every day, and if you don't pick up any skeet, start worrying. And people have said to me, politicians, there's apathy amongst the population. No, there isn't. There is a calm before the storm. Yeah. They are so incensed with this. We're all in this together, as we keep being told, but it seems there are two classes of those together.
So is the storm September?
I think the storm is going to be September. I think of those, some of those MHKs who are now sitting in their nice comfy hollows are in for a shock, because the reason the authorities aren't being supported so well at the moment is until the status changes, then nobody wants to be in the authorities. I have to say, I think being on the authority is a wonderful place.
Kat Turner's nodding frantically here. Kat?
I am. I think what Nigel says is absolutely true. There's a level of, excuse my language, pissed offness that I've not heard in a long time. So people are angry at what they see as a variety of injustices, rising inequality. A government that trumpets 30 years of GDP growth, which does not manifest into improved standards of living for the majority of people. It might for the few, but it doesn't for the most. And there are huge swathes of the population, not just the very vulnerable, but increasingly the middle, squeezed middle classes too, who appear to be invisible to the people they pay to run the country.
So general disillusionment.
General disillusionment. I've just come from the follow-ups with my, not with my council hat on, but with my Ekavanen, which is the group I formerly used to work for, hat on. We're doing some follow-ups to some wellbeing workshops, and we asked people what they thought made for wellbeing in the island. And to a man, across the four different meetings we ran across the island, democracy was one of the top things. They wanted politicians who listened, I'm quoting exactly here, all the time, not just once every 5 years. They wanted governments that serve, not rule. That's the kind of language that came through. There were lots of other things, building community, more fresh food, blah, 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 all that good stuff. But it was amazing to have people saying that the biggest thorn in their side when it comes to the well-being of the people who live here is the lack of genuine democracy and care for the people of the Isle of Man, their true well-being. Not statistics, not GDP growth, but what's going on in people's lives.
You stood, of course, in the by-election in Douglas East in November.
I did.
Were you hearing similar sentiments on the doorstep?
Yeah, it was, excuse my language, dog shit, parking and democracy. And also energy and heating bills. So people saying, people in nice houses with a car in the drive saying, I can't put the heating on, I've got to put another jumper on.
Could I just say, the people out there, they're not fools. And what they say to us, we're being taken for fools here. A lot of the politicians, and they're not all the same, you know, Chris accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to speak up. I can only talk privately as people I've dealt with recently. But I've been working with Howard Quayle on medical things. I think it's excellent. If we could have more Howard Quayles, I'd be very happy. But what people are saying is, with modern media, they know what's going on. This island's full of good skeet. And for somebody to stand up and try and con them, they just don't accept it. And I think there's going to be quite a revolution come September.
We should just at this point apologise for any of the bad language, Kat, if we could.
I do apologise.
Refrain
so
from
sorry.
That in
yes.
future. But clearly it is something that you're passionate about, and you're indicating that people of the Isle of Man are passionate. But, you know, it's not being shown at the ballot boxes. You know, they're not that bothered that they're going out there to vote then.
It was interesting when I was going round rapping on doors. I think a lot of people have got to a wearily cynical stage, so they're annoyed at what's happening. But I did hear people say, I'm not going to bother to vote because it won't change anything. They promised the world and then nothing happens. It's absolutely true what Nigel says. There are some very sincere politicians, Mr. Quayle and Mr. Thomas among them. Mr. Caron, who will be much lamented when he leaves, I think. So I'm not going to throw any stones, point any fingers, but I think there is a general disillusion in the structure of government and certain individuals that they are not interested in serving serving the Manx people.
To what extent, though, do you think, Kat, that could be put down to a lack of understanding about how government actually works? You know, it's not as easy as going in there and being really passionate.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not. What people say to me is, when there's somebody worth voting for, I'll go and vote. But I'm not going to carry on voting for those old numpties who get in on personalities. Because when you look back in history,
easy to say that, though, isn't it, Captain Malpass? Why don't these people who are criticising and from the outside jump in and put their name above the parapet?
Because they find it very difficult to break into the stranglehold.
It's interesting. A couple of years ago, before we formed Ekavanen, we went down to the Isle of Wight, myself, some green groups and various representatives from government, including Richard Ronan, to see what was happening down there. And they'd just had a big change in what's actually a local council down there. not a government per se, but they had this fantastic council full of open meetings, and they had a councillor for sustainability and wonderful things like that. And I said, this is great. How did this happen? They said, well, it was really interesting. We had such a level of, I won't use the P word again, aggrievedness.
Lovely turn of phrase there. Lovely turn of phrase.
They had, there were allegations of arrogance, not consulting the public, not thinking they needed to worry their pretty little heads about things. There were allegations of corruptness, giving jobs to your cronies, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, this all sounds very familiar. And he said, then we got to the sweet part where they managed to annoy, that wasn't the word he used either, not just one section of the population, but all of them. They annoyed mums by closing preschools. They annoyed lots of people by threatening to close libraries. They talked about making the NHS have to be paid for. Everybody was affected by some sort of austerity that was unfair. And people took to the streets, and it had no constitutional standing whatsoever. But 2,000 people hit the streets, rattling pots and pans, and it was all over for them.
I want to expand on those points shortly. We are very close to having our first result, actually. We'll just take a break.
Exciting.
Manx Radio Community Outside Broadcasts, powered by Poker Stars.
For kitchens and bedrooms, there's a cheaper way. Transform your home with a door today.
Make the most of your bedroom space with made-to-measure floor-to-ceiling solutions from Adore. Whether you want a bedroom revamp or a whole new look, Adore have a fantastic range of space-saving designs to choose from. Arrange your free quotation now. Find Adore on Facebook or
click adore.in today.
Did one of the kids forget to take their shoes off after playing outside? Is that red wine stain still on the armchair from the dinner party? Did the spring redecorating see more paint on your carpets than your walls? Just call ChemDry Isle of Man, and you can have superior cleaning on carpets and upholstery from a qualified technician using advanced cleaning systems and solutions that can leave your carpets dry in just 3 to 4 hours. Give us a call today on Douglas 675972 or find us on Facebook.
These days, more and more homes have at least 3 vehicles, including motorcycles. So take advantage of multi-vehicle insurance discounts with a Family Fleet Shield policy from Tower Insurance. A Family Fleet Shield policy also offers competitive premiums for young drivers, free courtesy cars, free legal expenses up to £50,000, and you'll be dealing with your local insurance provider, Tower Insurance. Contact your broker or call Tower Insurance on 645 900.
Is your printing out of control and costing your business a fortune? Luckily, you can trust IOM Copiers to solve all your printing problems. Our managed print services will help you take control of your documents, saving you both time and money. We also provide process automation solutions for invoicing, document scanning, and more. Whatever the size of your company, we can tailor solutions to support you. Visit iomcopiers.im. IOM Copiers. We innovate, others just copy.
Catching the red eye off the island or landing after a tiring day can be tough. So transform your journey into an experience with the Lady Chauffeurs. Relax in one of our immaculate long wheelbase S-Class Mercedes and let our professional Lady Chauffeurs make your trip that extra bit special at a price that'll make you relax even more. The Lady Chauffeurs Experience. Call 235577.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's Election Night Special. I just had a thought during that ad break that we have one Lib Van councillor here and we have two politicians who initially stood for Lib Van and left. That could be an interesting debate later, but we will come to that. Rob Collister, the Onken Commissioner, has been in touch, Mr Thomas, to say that you're always happy to mention the benefits for regional housing waiting lists, but refuse to explain the role that the government's housing officers will play in any future regional housing structures. Your reply to that?
I know we talk all the time about what the role that government housing officers might play. It's a shame that Rob's not coming along to the meetings to talk with us about it.
And what about the local authority rents in the future? Will you explain a bit more about that?
Very much so. We've got a very active work programme looking at means testing, both for charging people more if they can afford more, but preserving the communities by letting them carry on living there, and also by giving rebates for poorer people. We've done everything we can to hold deficiency levels where they are, and also by implication rents levels where they are. So we are really working hard, and it would be great if Onchan and Port St Mary commissioners and officers would fully participate in the housing processes that we've got going on. I sit with Mr Mockton in the Eastern Housing Group that now involves all the wards from Garth, and also Braddon commissioners, and we'd welcome, and also Douglas commissioners, councillors, and we'd welcome further participation.
Rob Mutton, Laurie Hooper, Ramsey Commissioner, heard you in the first half of the programme saying merge local authorities. Mr Hooper suggesting that you perhaps weren't always in favour of closer working with Ramsey Commissioners.
I'm not talking about Ramsey Commissioners.
You're talking generally, are you?
No, I'm talking about amalgamation with similar authorities.
It goes back to the point we were talking with to Michelle Edwin about in the first half of the programme, though. Is there an envious eye perhaps cast on some of the larger authorities around?
Envious? Absolutely not. What we do, we look at how they do things, and some of the way that things they do it, we think is wrong.
Captain Malpass, do you think they're wrong, the way some of the larger authorities do some of their offerings?
When you say offerings, you mean...
Some of the services, some of the way they run operations.
Well, as far as Ramsey goes, no. I think we do a good service under very constrained and difficult times that have passed, but... I've always supported the idea that we could all work together in the north in a lot better way. And as Rob will tell you, we've had many meetings and we've been working towards that kind of thing. It's just not happened so far.
Kat Turner, your few months as a Douglas councillor, have you found Douglas looks at from the outside at some of the smaller authorities, or is actually willing to help?
I'd say they're very willing to help. So we do have a good record of cooperation with other authorities, for example, in offering recycling services and the like. And long may that continue. I hope that's something that'll spread across the island. Douglas finds itself in a special position, being the size and the constitution that it is. But I've never heard anybody at all being dismissive about the smaller authorities.
And Douglas doesn't only do recycling. Douglas provides the contracting services for waste management for Castletown,
sure,
and also for Braddon, and it runs the All Island Bring Bank service, or at least has done. For government services.
Rob?
Well, when I say I'm not criticising Ramsey or any of the larger authorities, we just think that by having contractors is the best way. It's much cheaper, absolutely it's much cheaper than having your own staff and the pensions and all of this sort of thing, and their own wagons to repair and all of that. We know it's cheaper. It definitely is. So we would advocate that to all the smaller authorities, you know, to have contractors. We work with Douglas. I think it's only on one thing at the minute. But, Douglas have always been listening to me, you know, when I've asked them about things, you know, and we hope that we can do more in the future. We'll work with anybody if it's for the betterment of our ratepayers.
Exactly,
because,
so.
And I have to say, though...
I'm going to stop you there for May, Rob, because you'll be interested in this one, because apparently we're very close to having a declaration in Garth, in Laxey. Of course, we already know there that the turnout has been quite encouraging. Beth Espy and myself, Roger Watterson now joins us. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening. I've just listened, while we're waiting for this call to come in, I've just sitting listening for the past hour or so to the discussion that's been going on here with your guests, and I think that discussion has raised as many questions as those that were answered. One of those, I have to admire Chris's neat way of deflecting your question about the relationship of the housing officers, and
well,
no doubt he'll answer that in a minute when we deal with this.
He will indeed, because we have got a declaration in Garth. Let's head down to Laxey and join Alex Bell.
Good evening, one and all. We're here in Laxey at the Working Men's Institute, where returning officer Pete Burgess is here right now with the declaration.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming along tonight. Thank you to the... I'd like just to thank the counting clerks, the polling clerks, and everybody who's worked here today. The results of the election for three commissioners held on the 28th of April 2016 for the local government parish district of Garth, ward of Laxey. Notice of the candidates elected. I, the returning officer, hereby give notice the total number of votes given for each candidate at the above election is as follows. Bate Rosalind, 148. Kinnish, Peter, 267. Miller, Liam James, 483. Pinson, Julianne, 309. The names of the candidates elected are Peter Kinnish, Liam Miller, and Julie Pinson. The total number of voters voting at the election was 566, and that was 44% turnout. There was one ballot paper rejected for the following reason, and that was want of an official mark. Thank you very much.
Well, there you have it, folks. You heard it from the man himself, returning officer Pete Burgess there. An extraordinary result. We'll try and get that winning candidate right now. Yes, let's just go over here. Well, Liam Miller, you've topped the polls. Yes, an extraordinary result there.
I have.
Not only for a newcomer, such as yourself, but the youngest one on the island. The youngest.
So, yeah.
How old are you?
18.
And you've taken the day off school to be here today, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
It must be... How do you feel?
Very thrilled. Out of the moon.
I can only imagine, yeah. So where now?
Well, I'm moving on with the future now, you know. Young blood in. So let's see what we can do with some young... ideas and where we can move forward with them.
This is an exciting result for Garth, isn't it? It's an exciting year.
Yes, it certainly is. So it's the first ever, I think, 18-year-old, but also the first time we're moving forward into the Garth Joint Initiative. So new faces and, you know, new ideas all around, really.
Well, Liam, we'll chat to you a bit more later on. We'll hand back to the studio now and we'll chat to all of the candidates just a bit later on. But for now... Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Alex
Back
Bell.
To you in the studio.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Bell in Garth there with the winning candidate, if you like, the who topped the poll. Liam Miller, 483. Rob Mupton, he took the day off school today to contest this. It's quite something, quite a story, isn't it?
I only met him today, as it happens, for the first time, and he told me his headmaster was coming down to have a look, so I'm really pleased for him.
Perhaps the margin's a bit of a shock, but certainly the fact that Rosalind Bates finished bottom of the polls there, she was a long-standing commissioner. I know she's had a break, but, I mean, that will be a bit of a blow for her.
Yes, I'm sure it will be. And, you know, really, they're all very keen. And it wouldn't really matter which one didn't get in I don't mean to be detrimental to anyone, but it's a shame someone had to lose, unfortunately. But that's it.
Well, the youngest candidate's triumph. Roger, what I've got to mention to you, you've probably seen this before, but I suppose the begs the question, what happens if this candidate wants to go off to university in 5 months' time?
Well, funny you should say that, but we asked him that question before, and he seems to be keen on some sort of career in agriculture. So, and I think that means agriculture here.
So you may be staying put. Yeah.
He certainly, when you talk to him, certainly has got a... Now, I don't just mean he's interested in politics. There's a political animal in there at the moment in its early stages. I'll be interested to see how he does in the years to come.
What do you make of that result, Mr. Thomas?
I think it's lovely. We've had some... Sir Charles Crewe started very young up in Macauld. He had a very long career in Manx politics. Perhaps Mr. Miller is in the same ilk in years to come and decades to come.
Yes. Right, well, before you go, Chris, I think we need to go back onto that question about the housing, because there are a whole series of issues to do with relationships with the government. And we've just got time for you to say to him, what is that relationship going to be between the housing authorities and government? There does seem to be a whole grey area there that a lot of the various people involved in these discussions are a little bothered about.
I don't think it's grey at all. I think it's just work in progress. So in the West, we're actually in the process of transferring 20 houses, 20 tenants, the management of those, as every aspect of those houses, from government to Peel as a pilot. In doing that, we're actually having to unpick procurement regulations, financial regulations, amounts of money involved. In Douglas, Douglas is the front line. We've got a partnership with Douglas, and we're actually unpicking the relationships between what can be financed by deficiencies and what can be financed by local funds. And when you've got local funds, they're capital funds or they're revenue funds. And we've got, for the next few months, we'll be having very active discussions with Douglas about that. So in summary, where our staff end up, I think it's quite likely I know the direction, and I think it's quite likely that Rob Collister knows the direction, but we can end up in a different place depending on the discussions.
Right. Now we've got to go to the news in a few seconds, so could you just say to me, once those houses have been handed over to the local authorities, what grip will government still try and retain on them?
You've misunderstood it. We're not actually talking about transferring the ownership of any asset. That would be too complicated.
The management of them.
And government will be the regulator, and government will be a substantial financier because we have a 5.2 million deficiency payment. It's not likely to get any less. So we will be making sure that we get value for the taxpayer, for the taxpayer's contribution, and we will make sure that the standards by which the housing authorities work in tenancy and in property aspects are all adequate.
Chris Thomas, thank you very much. You are listening to Manx Radio's Election Night Special. We'll be back in a moment after the headlines.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your legal needs. Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shaw Radio Vanin, this is Manx Radio.
The headlines at 9.30, good evening. The first results in the 2016 local elections are in. Garth's Laxey ward declared at around 20 past eight. The youngest candidate to stand in any of the seven contests in the island today, 18-year-old Liam Miller, topped the poll by a large margin with 483 votes, some way ahead of second-placed Julianne Pinson, with Peter Kinnish in third place. Voting's been described as busy at a number of polling stations, and the first official turnout figures, 40.8% in Castletown and 44% in Laxey, are both well above the average for local polls. Polling stations have been open for 12 hours today. They closed at 8 o'clock this evening. There could be lengthy counts in those areas contested by a long list of candidates. In Peel, 12 are vying for seven seats. There was a delay to the start of voting at Corrin Hall in Peel this morning. Voters who arrived early found the doors were not opened by 8 a.m, with boxes and voting papers still to be brought in and tables set up. The returning officer has apologised for the delay. In other news, a move to widen the debate on funding the pensions of government staff will be made in the House of Keys next week. Former Policy and Reform Minister Chris Robertshaw's tabled a motion calling for more details on the financial strategy designed by ministers to bridge the funding gap. Mr. Robertshaw says the government should not rely on economic growth to solve the issue without explaining how it can be achieved. And the chief executive of the Children's Centre says the decision to close nursery provision for children under the age of two was taken purely for financial reasons. It was announced today the loss-making service will cease on the 29th of July. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news in full and more results, I expect, by 10 o'clock.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your general and commercial legal needs. Call 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
And welcome back to Manx Radio's Election Special with Beth Espy, James Davis and I'm Roger Watterson, with a group of and a team of people from all aspects of the Manx political life, one of whom is Rob Mockton, who I think is just about to leave us now, Rob. But you've now got two of the three wards in your new authority sorted out. One
yes.
to go yet, quite a few number of people
well,
to choose
unfortunately,
for
three members stood and withdrew their nominations for reasons best known to them. But I don't know what the reasons were, I have no idea. But all it's done is succeeded in costing the taxpayers more money because we're going to have to advertise now for a new election. So that's a shame. But also, I'm really sorry the way the conversation has gotten around to the government here, because this is about commissioners. Tonight is totally about commissioners. Now, commissioners' job is relatively easy. We look after the people in our authority. And, I didn't bring any information, as I said before, with me tonight about the government. But I was being a commissioner for 11 years. I could have a stack like that. But this isn't the night for that.
Are they not interlinked, respectfully?
Well, of course they're interlinked. But as commissioners, where our job is, our authorities. And we do it as best as we can at Mackled. I'm sure, we know the people at Mackled agree that we do.
But isn't that part of the thinking of the person who's going to vote? If I'm going to vote for somebody for a local authority, what clout does he have and how much will the government override him? Is there any point in it?
Well, I don't think they think that way at all, to be honest with you. I think they think about the look, the things, the everyday stuff that we do for them. That's what we care about in Macclesfield. As I said earlier on, we think of ourselves as caretakers, not politicians. If they have a problem, they ring us and we sort it out as best we can. And that's what our job is, and we do it the best we can.
Nigel well, Malpass?
Yeah, I totally disagree with Bob, but I don't live in Macclesfield. I used to put in 21 hours a week, free time, as chairman. I went to 500 and odd civic duties. I can't tell you the hours I spent. And the feedback I've had from all over the island is, unless the central government control changes, then people are not interested in joining something that has no effect. Yes, you can look after your local people and do what have you, but I've been to too many meetings over the last 8 years where we've all agreed with government that we're going to go somewhere, but at the end of the day, the bureaucracy prevents it happening because the status quo.
The bureaucracy, not necessarily the elected politicians, the bureaucracy.
Let's define, I mean, I understand what Rob's on about, but when I talk about government, I'm talking about the whole empire, right, not just the politicians. And I have seen so many politicians have rings run around them by these very educated executives that sit within government control.
Just before Beth asks you something,
answer Bob's question about this thing. Housing, we talked about that. We've been at meetings over the years where it was all going to go correctly. We were all going to share all this kind of stuff. And then the scheme came up where the central government would still keep the control. There'd be no savings whatsoever. In fact, it'd be worse because you'd put another line of thing in. I would suggest that this government needs to devote its time to creating wealthy jobs on the island to get that taxpayer that they're after, and reduce the number within government.
But you say the public and the people you talk to are concerned about government control over local authorities.
Yes.
Well, how do they know about that? Because it's not the sort of thing that you normally would publicise, is it? Where does the information come from to make that assessment?
Let's take a simple case. They have given a mandate to the person elected on the authority. Mm. That person is then trying to get something done and it is thwarted. There have been many occasions that we've had over the years where that gets thwarted.
Could you give an instance of that?
Well, I've just quoted one about the housing. Mm. We spent 2 days debating this up at Mount Murray. We came up with a grand plan how the authorities were going to do anything, and everybody nodded their head and said it was wonderful. Even the minister said it was wonderful. And then the executive within government kicked it into touch because they said, yeah, but we're not changing. We're keeping our empire. So, you know, that is what we fight. So Bob's right for Macclesfield, but when you're talking to deal with the government for big things, it is difficult.
I'm not disputing anything that is just said. All of that is true. I just think this is not the place for it. Tonight's about local authorities.
But unless you sort that central problem. We're asking about why...
Well, you can bring that up at the general election.
No.
Yes,
Bob,
absolutely.
Why haven't we had so many people come forward? And I'm saying, in my opinion, the people that have talked to me said, I'm not going forward for that. It's a very worthwhile job. But until I can see there's some real meat on the bone, that I can do something for my people where I live, I'm not putting myself forward.
I can see a further Sunday opinion coming on this. I know Mr. Mutton's got to go. But Beth, you want to bring the minister in, presumably.
Well,
at this point,
joined in the studio now by Phil Gorn, MHK from the Department of Infrastructure. Phil Gorn, you've been listening to that. Or what do you make of what you've just heard there?
Yeah, I think there's some very interesting comments being made. And I think what Roger has been talking about and what Nigel's been talking about is very much what I hope will be the past for the relationship between central and local government. What we have been doing over the course of the last 2 years is holding a number of workshops and seminars, discussions, meetings with local authorities. I've actually just signed off a paper which was summarising the work that we've done over the last 18 months. And as part of the paper, in the introduction to the paper, there's a paragraph which said the minister was strongly advised by his officers not to go out to these discussions without having a clear plan of exactly what he wanted to do. The officers felt that this was not the way to go about things. Towards the end of the report, in the summary, the officers then concede that actually by going out effectively with a blank sheet of paper and listening to what the local authorities had to say, understanding what the problem is in terms of the breakdown in relations or the inefficiency in the relationship between central and local government. We've actually achieved more in the last 12 months than we have perhaps in the last 30 years. And that's coming from officers who have very lengthy experience working in the central government, local government unit. So I think we're making progress, and I think there is a degree of disillusionment in local government, and I absolutely would agree with that. But I think the disillusionment is in what we are trying to fix, and I think we are making some significant progress in trying to fix that. I think we have to give more control back to local authorities. We have a work stream on governance, working out the relationship between central and local government. I've very clearly said to the local authorities in all the meetings I've had, I do not think it is appropriate for central government to double check everything that local authorities do. I think local authorities should be responsible for their own decisions. So we are making quite a lot of progress. I think it's going to be another 2 or 3 years before that starts to be reflected in people's experiences of how it works.
It's interesting, Minister, you're talking about you working out the relationship between local authorities and central government, and I kind of feel that if you don't know what that relationship is and how it works, I mean, how is anyone else supposed to?
I didn't say that I don't know what the relationship
but
is.
But it's constantly changing, though,
isn't
it?
What I know is that at the moment we have a fairly inefficient system. We have a system where central government provides some public sector housing. We have local government providing some public sector housing. And that's clearly inefficient. It is bizarre that in my patch, down in Russian, you could have constituents potentially on 5 different housing lists. I mean, that is nonsense, and that's something that we are resolving, and we're resolving it in a way which doesn't create large new bureaucracies. One of the failings, in my view, in the past has been the idea of creating 4 new large bureaucracies of a similar size to Douglas. Now, I know we have a Douglas councillor. I've got a Douglas councillor sat right next to me, so I have to be a little bit careful what I say.
I can meet you from here.
Yes, but one of the biggest areas of problem in terms of that central local government relationship is the relationship between Douglas and central government. That's something that we are endeavouring to improve, and I think we have made some great strides forward. But actually, creating 4 more large authorities of a Douglas size isn't necessarily going to resolve many of the issues that we have in terms of that central local government relationship.
All of the items you're talking about there now have been known, have been identified, and have been discussed for years. And what I don't understand in all of this is why it is taking so long to solve something that everybody knows needs to be fixed.
You've just had a great example from Chris.
Yeah.
He's talking about the housing going to Peel.
Right.
Why didn't they just look after it? No, they're going to still have a structure within government that's going to monitor it. Another layer of bureaucracy.
Is this government taking a greater control in social housing, Minister?
Okay, Roger said, why is it taking so long? It's taken me about 18 months.
Give us a chance there.
You know.
I didn't actually point the finger at you there. I said this has been going on for years and years and years.
I'll go back to what my sort of opening remarks. The officers were very concerned that I was going out without a clear and fixed view as to what it should be.
Whose view was that going to be? Theirs or yours?
Well, that's arguable. Where I think we've always gone wrong with this central-local government relationship is central government assumes that it knows best and it can impose a system on local government. My view is that we have a vast many years, decades of experience amongst our local authority members. Many of our local authority members are putting huge amount of hours in to look after their communities, to represent their communities. So we should be listening to what they have to say so that we can better understand what is actually needed. That said, going back to that housing thing and how central government has to be there are... national priorities in relation to public sector housing. So we do need to have a department that has responsibility for ensuring that those national priorities are being delivered. So I don't think it's unreasonable for that to happen. What is unreasonable is if we do devolve the central government housing to that local government, it would be unreasonable for us to then do that double checking all the time. It's entirely appropriate for us to be setting standards across the island. It's entirely appropriate for us to ensure that appropriate numbers of public sector housing are being built across the island. It's not appropriate for us to be interfering in the affairs of local government, though.
But would you say that at the moment that is what you do? Because most of the local authority members we've had on these various programmes have actually said that they're thwarted. That's the word that comes up time and time again.
Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to change. And that is why I believe that you know, we have made significant progress over the last 12 to 18 months. But it's, you know, we're talking about generations worth of entrenched views which have got to be changed. Now, you can either do that by the sort of very radical revolutionary approach that every minister prior to me taking up this role has tried in relation to local government, or you can do it in the more evolutionary approach which I'm trying to undertake, and actually not wreck the local authority systems, not undermine all those really good local authority members who are out there, but actually use their experience to build something which is going to be very effective for the whole island.
But when you look at the various local authorities, you talk about their experience, you look at the wide range of different functions that they have. One does have to ask, when you look at an election like this, whether you, back to the old question again, you may not want four with a big one, but whether you need so many. I mean, does it justify a five-man board to represent 400 people in Bride?
It depends what you're asking them to do. And again, I think we've been fairly blinkered in terms of or fairly tunnel-visioned in relation to what we assume local authorities can do. We assume that it'll be something similar to what they've done in the past. My view is that there's a whole range of new areas that local authorities could be getting involved in, not least in relation to greater community involvement in relation to things like the most vulnerable people in society, protecting those people, working with community groups to try and establish new facilities in their areas, similar to the work that we've been doing down in the Russian with the Southern Community Initiatives, actually building on that kind of thing to try and actually deliver really good quality services for local communities, not necessarily through local government, not necessarily through the local commissioners or the council, but working with other charities, other bodies, yeah, to actually deliver comprehensive services for the people.
Can I say, Roger, this is trust. This is all to do with trust.
Absolutely.
And we've worked with the minister in Ramsey for 18 months, and we are building that trust. But trust is both ways. And one of the problems here is we are trying to trust central government, the bureaucrats, and they don't trust us. Can I just quote here what it says, that surely local people should know their own communities better than anyone else.
And you're reading that from the newsletter.
That's from the newsletter that you said that Chris Thomas produced earlier on. And it doesn't happen. It does not happen. Why is planning still with satellite dishes up? Well, we've been hearing this for ages, Phil. But,
yeah,
but you know, we are better placed in the local authorities. And there are some wonderful people out there that would come forward if they thought there was a job worth doing. But they don't want to be just puppets.
Getting quite a few comments in on social media, Beth.
Yes, we have. Just thinking about the Laxey election, we had a tweet in saying the power of social media shows once more. The only candidate I saw on social media was Liam Miller, with the younger voters now. Maybe that is the way to go in the future. And I think this is a question for all of you, actually. You know, speaking from my own experience, I didn't have any of the candidates coming round and actually speaking to me on the doorstep. We got some of the manifestos literally the day before. And I kind of think, how can you get the public engaged if really the candidates don't seem that bothered either, Kat Turner?
Well, that's a very good question. I have to say, as someone who's fairly recently had experience of pavement pounding, it is quite daunting for a candidate to get around the number of houses that they might need to within a period. So there will be some people who get missed out, to be fair. But I'm sure that those that are able have been knocking on doors as much as they can. people do want to speak to you face to face, and it does change minds. So it's definitely worth candidates doing that, but they won't be able to reach everyone. I hear lots of debate about reaching people through social media, and for people of a certain generation, that's fantastic. I have great engagement with my constituents through Facebook, to a lesser extent through Twitter, but I think it's a wonderful way to get certainly younger people, but not just younger people, engaged. And it's fabulous to see somebody young making it cool to be politically engaged, because everything is political. Everything we do, everything we buy, how we spend our time. So for young people to realise that actually it's all political and actually they have some say is great. But there are a huge number of people that I came across when canvassing who are not digitally enabled.
Cat Turner, we'll just have to stop you there, because we can go to Port St Mary and Bob Harrison.
Yes, the results are in. Everything is ready. Let's go over to the returning officer, Alistair Hamilton.
Ladies and gentlemen, as returning officer for the local authority election for the Port St Mary Village District, I'd like to declare the result. There was a total of 680 ballots cast. There was one spoilt ballot paper. The number of votes for each candidate is as follows. Ashcroft, Richard, David, Charles, 353. Grace, Alan, James, 299. Haywood, Michelle, Elena, Kay, 271. Hurst, Robert, 285. Kinley, Christopher, Andrew, George, James, 322. Merchant, Alexander, 272. Fair, Andrew Paul, 428. Sinfield, Rebecca Margaret, 249. Skelly, Ian Paul, 523. Williams, Carol Bernadette, 314. I therefore declare that Richard Ashcroft, Alan Grace, Michelle Haywood, Robert Hurst, Chris Kinley, Alexander Merchant, Andrew Fair, Ian Skelly, and Bernadette Williams have been duly elected to serve as commissioners for the Village and District of Port St Mary. I would like to thank the candidates for a good campaign. I'd like to thank the electoral staff for all their help. And while it's unfortunate to pick anybody out, I'd really like to thank the presiding officer, Hayley Phillips. They all made this election possible. Thank you.
And I feel sure the candidates would like to thank the returning officer as well. So we'll talk to the top three candidates over here. They're all bunched up in the kitchen area. Top of the pile, I think. Ian Skelly, yeah?
Yes, Bob, yeah. I'm deeply humbled and speechless, really.
Okay, the usual cliche is, but what do you think that you can do for Port St Mary in the next 4 years?
Before I say anything, I'd like to commiserate with Rebecca. One of us, unfortunately, has to lose, and I feel sorry for Rebecca. But I think we'll still have to reform. We have to be very vigilant at central government to stop them putting more and more charges on us. Just to benefit for the village overall, really. Okay.
Well, congratulations. Thank you. What difference can you think you can make?
Well, my campaign has been from the start about more openness and transparency in the in Port St Mary, and I would hope in the other local authorities too. I think that the more open and transparent we can be, the more interested people will be in local politics, and hopefully we'll have a better turnout and a better vote.
There we are. As far as you're concerned, what do you reckon?
Well, I think my main thrust of the next 4 years will be to try and introduce more families into the village, more business, more visitors, and greater prosperity.
Good man. Thank you very much. There we are. The results are in from Port St Mary. Let's return to the studio.
Thanks very much, Bob. Just to interview the top three candidates there. I want to bring David Talbot in a moment, because I appreciate you've been sitting there patiently. But Minister Gawn, this is your constituency. Rebecca Sinfield is the one that misses out there. It's a blow for her, especially because she had to stud down last year, I think, because when it emerged that she wasn't on the voters list.
Yes, I think it's very unfortunate, particularly when you've got 10 candidates for 9 seats. It's always going to be sad that one candidate misses out. And I know that Rebecca...
I just have to interrupt you there because we can now go to Castletown and Tim Glover.
Yes, we are ready for the declaration of the result. And Owen Collister is the returning officer.
As the returning officer for Castletown, I wish to report the result of today's election. I will give the names in alphabetical order. Barrow, 451. Cubbon, Richard, 645. Farragher, Dorothy, 257. Leather, Colin, 2366. Ludford Brooks, Jeremy Martin Vivian, 299. McAleer, Richard Stephen, 503. Parnell, David John, 440. Quine, Carroll, 342. And Quine, James, 168. So I declare that Barrow, Cubbon, Leather, Ludford Brooks, McAleer, Parnell and Carroll Quine are to serve for 4 years on Castletown Town Commissioners. The poll was 40.85%. And I have to say, that was a very good poll for the type of day it was here this morning. It was really, really terrible. And my thanks and congratulations to everybody.
So a round of applause, but that really is a big signal for change in Castletown here, because Dorothy Elizabeth Farragher, one of the commissioners seeking re-election, has been... not voted in, as has James Douglas Quine. So if you take in that we had four commissioners not standing for re-election, Alwyn Collister, Kevin Weir, Andrew Thomas and Peter Hill Heaton, add to that Dorothy Farragher and James Douglas Quine, that is six of the previous board of 9 who aren't in. So there are therefore quite a lot of new blood on the Castletown commissioners. Well, let's go and get some reaction. We have beaten 10 o'clock. There's great satisfaction here. But we'll just go in and see if we can find James Cubbon. But he's popped out, has he? Right, thank you very much. But we'll just dive in here and get a word with Richard McAleer, who's one of... there was a board of 9. There's only 3 from that board of 9 that are going to be on the new commissions. That's a real vote for change.
It is, actually, yes. And I'm not surprised that Jimmy Cubbon did so well, because he's a very strong candidate. And 645 votes, that's phenomenal. It really is. Yeah.
What do you do now, though? What are the big tasks? The people have said they want new blood, they want change. And when I was talking to people in Castletown, they wanted everybody rowing in the same direction rather than fighting against each other.
Well, I think for that team you got there now, they will row in the same direction. It's a positive board there, and hopefully we'll get things moving.
OK, thanks very much indeed. Let's go and have a word with James Cubbon. I'm more used to calling him Jimmy Cubbon, though. Would prefer the Jimmy?
Jimmy, yes, please, sir.
Well, congratulations. Top of the poll. Did you expect that?
Didn't expect that. Just hoped to get in, Tim, to be honest. You know, I don't live in Castletown. I live in Duck Street in Balbeg on the Southern 100 course, but you know, I'm from a Castletown family, so I'm delighted, Tim. Delighted and very excited about the future.
What do you see as the big issues? Because that vote from the people really is a vote for change.
Yeah, absolutely. Castletown has had its low years, and there's a lot of negativity around the town, and I'm really excited. I think there's a few things about to happen. The likes of Costa coming in is the kickstart Castletown needs, and I want to see these streets busy again. I want to see this town busy. I want to see events on in that square. The square's great. It's had its critics. I think it's great. It's clean. It's fresh. Let's get Castletown started again.
Only 3 of the past commissioners will be on the reduced board now of 7. There are 4 new commissioners. I mean, the people have had a big say here.
Absolutely.
They aren't happy.
No, and there's some young people there. Dave Parnell summed it up well the other night, that you're picking a team, and I think it's a good team, and I'm really excited to be working with some of these people.
Thanks very much and congratulations. And just going to get a word as well with Colin Leather. Colin, The old commissioners have had a bit of a kicking here, haven't they? You're one that's escaped.
I'm glad to be here again for another 4 years. Do our best for the town. We start again with a new team. I'm sure this team's going to work really well together, just like the last one. And it's all for the good of Castletown.
And what do you see as the big priorities for the next 4 years?
Definitely sorting out the town centre, trying to get some footfall back into the town so we can get our economy moving. It already is. New shops coming into the town, new businesses coming into the town. Carry on pushing for that. Carry on pushing for some more housing for everybody. The School Hill development starts again, starts in 3 years' time, and that will hopefully put that in the same scale as Janet's Corner. And we just move on. That's basically, Castletown is back in business.
Thanks very much, Colin Leather. And do you want those figures again for Castletown before I hand back to the studio? James Daniel Barrow, 451. James Richard Cubbin, top of the pops here, 645. Dorothy Elizabeth Farragher, 257. Colin Leather, 366. Jeremy Martin, Vivian Ludford Brooks, 299. Richard Stephen McAleer, 503. David John Parnell, 440. Carol Barbara Quine, 342, and James Douglas Quine, 168. So of the nine standing, the ones that don't get in are Dorothy Elizabeth Farragher and James Douglas Quine. Back to the studio.
Thanks very much, Tim. Let's go to the news.
Hate paying to park and spending more than you need on shopping? Iceland Chester Street. 2 hours free parking when you spend £25. And great prices on fresh, chilled and frozen and home living ranges.
Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shore Radio Vanin. This is Manx Radio.